Aren't you grateful we live in a wonderful nation? Well, we're declaring this to be the summer of miracles. So many of us need a miracle from God. So we're focusing our faith. We're hearing from God's word and all that he has to say about miracles. We've been looking in previous weeks at some of the miracles Jesus performed. And today I want to talk about an unusual subject. You may not include it in the normal list of miracles Jesus performed. But I want to talk to you today about Sabbath rest and God's promise that we could enter into his rest. Now, it's directly connected to miracles, and here's why. For some of us, for some of you, to get from where you are in an overburdened, frantic, and panicked, fast-paced life where you live at your house right now, to get from that place to a place of perfect rest would require a miracle for many of us. And I'm beginning with Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. The writer here says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." A promise remains of entering his rest. We dare not fall short of it. Now, it's hard to imagine a more restless generation than our generation today. We're on a 24/7 news cycle, breaking news every hour. We can't find relief from the pressure and the burdens. Some work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week just to stretch their energy and every dollar they can get to make ends meet. And the overload of pressure and stress that comes with life on earth in our generation, we've never seen a day like this before. Even with all the technology that was supposed to simplify life, we're more overwhelmed and more restless than ever, without rest than any other previous generation, you would think. But the Bible tells us there was another generation a few thousand years ago that had no rest. It was back during the days of manna when God was leading his people from slavery in Egypt through a wilderness where the promised land awaited. And we talked for a year about those 40 years in the wilderness, how that it wasn't all that bad. They lacked nothing for 40 years. God fed them every day with manna, and they were free from slavery and were headed in the right direction where all of God's best was waiting for them. And we talked about that one verse for a year. Remember that? Where God said, "May the Lord God bless you 1,000 times more," just as he promised Abraham he would. And so the promised land was there. They were closer than ever, but they were restless in the wilderness. God had given them clear instructions. "During this time in the wilderness, I'm going to feed you miraculously," God said. He said, "I'm going to rain manna from heaven every morning so that all of you will wake up every morning and look outside your tent, and there will be enough food for you and your family all day long." God said, "I'm going to do it every day." And God gave these instructions. "Don't be greedy. Don't gather more than you will need for that day. If you do, it's going to spoil and go bad. So let me spare you the trouble," God said. "Follow these instructions. Get all you need for one day. And trust me again for tomorrow." And then another instruction. God said, "On the sixth day of the week, gather enough for 2 days so that you will be able to rest on the seventh day. That's how important rest is. God gave those instructions, gather enough for only one day at a time, except on the sixth day, and then gather enough for 2 days so you can rest on the seventh day. Now, some rebelled and did not follow those instructions. And the Bible said God became angry at that generation and swore an oath. God swore, "They shall not enter my rest." Imagine it, being banned, being barred from entering God's rest. It being such an important thing, such a great blessing from God that He gives His people true rest. And then because of rebellion and disobedience, God says, "You shall not enter my rest." The Message translation says it like this: God was exasperated at His people and said, "They'll never get where they're going. They will never be able to sit down and rest." And so, those that grumbled and murmured and complained and rebelled and disobeyed God's instructions in the wilderness, their dead corpses were left in the wilderness, and they were not able to enter in to God's rest and to the promised land. Now, I heard God confirm this word to me in many different ways. One was yesterday morning. As I do every morning, I receive a great devotional blog from Shirley Weaver. Many of you may read her blog daily. It's a fresh word from God. Yesterday, she said this in her devotion: "We struggle to control matters we aren't completely sure God will handle." Aren't we like that? I get worn out trying to help God out. There is no rest in that. But we struggle to control matters we aren't completely sure God will handle. Now, one of the most commonly neglected areas, even in our physical health, is rest. We overlook it. We don't put a priority on it. We rob our physical bodies of much needed rest that's in God's design. Our lifestyles are hectic. We're tired, exhausted, stressed out, burned out. And a lack of proper rest leads to discouragement, depression, distress, and despair. You've been there. It's because we try to control matters that we aren't completely sure God will handle. We refuse to trust what His Word says to us. Now, if modern medicine could somehow bottle rest and put it in a pill form, it would be the most profitable drug on the market today, because we so desperately need rest. We are a restless generation. But now, the kind of rest I'm talking about today, the kind of rest God promises His people, does not come with a pillow and a blanket and a posturepedic mattress. The kind of rest I'm talking about today is rest for the spirit and soul. There are four words every believer has a spiritual right to truthfully say. There are four simple words, four single syllable words. And the four words every believer has a right to truthfully say are these words: all is at rest. All is at rest. Now, how do we know if we're really trusting God rather than trusting ourselves? The best indicator is whether or not we are at rest. There is no way you can fully trust God, no matter what, and still be at unrest. The two come together. If you trust God no matter what, then you enjoy His rest, and you can say all is at rest. I heard an interesting story about a flying trapeze artist. Now, all of us have seen that, either been to the circus or the Big Top or watched it on television. And look at the flying trapeze artist. And always there is a flyer, and then there is a catcher. And when I heard the truth about the flying trapeze artist, it spoke spiritual revelation to me. The flyer flips through the air. The spotlight is on the flyer. The spotlight is on the one that's stealing the show, it seems. All eyes are on the flyer as he flies through the air. But the flyer must have a complete trust in the catcher. While the spotlight is on the flyer, the real star is the catcher. And the secret is, the flyer does nothing, and the catcher does everything. The flyer simply stretches out his hands and trusts the catcher. The worst thing the flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. The flyer must fly, and the catcher must catch, and the flyer must trust that the catcher will be there for him. That's the truth about the trapeze artist. Now, all of us are flying by the seat of our pants from time to time in this very real world. We've been flying by the seat of our pants for a few weeks. And how comforting it is to know how much rest we have received when we've reached the place that we are trusting Him to catch us no matter what. And we simply decide we're going to stay in a place of rest that He's provided for us. Resting in God and trusting in God. It's a place of perfect rest. And every believer has a right to say all is at rest. Now, Terry Tripp confirmed this word in recent days to me. I read something he wrote, and he says it like this: a seed, before it releases a harvest, must rest. Even a seed. And if you think about it, a seed that has built into itself the power to reproduce after its own kind, multiple manifold above and beyond the limited number of the one seed you have. But before the seed can release a harvest, the seed must rest. The Bible says it like this: unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it's always just one seed. But after it falls into the ground and dies, it breaks forth in new life and it grows up and becomes greater. So even a seed must rest before it releases a harvest. And then Terry went on to write this. Listen, Jesus slept in the midst of a storm. His ability to rest gave him the authority to release. You don't have the authority to speak to a storm that you don't have the ability to sleep through. Now, after 6 days of creation, God rested. He took the seventh day off, and he called it the Sabbath, and he called it holy, separated. There was a distinction between that day of rest and all the other days. Now, God did not rest because he was tired. God never gets tired. He rested on the seventh day because he was finished and he was satisfied. At the end of every day of creation, he looked at what had been accomplished that day and he was satisfied with it. He called it good every day. And then he rested on the seventh day, I believe, to set a model, to show us the rhythm that our life should have. You work on days that you should work, but you never overlook the importance of a Sabbath, and that is a day that's holy unto itself, a day where you enter into the rest of God, and you're free to do nothing but rest and worship. I remember when I was a boy, and I don't like talking about this because I sound so old to you millennials and to you Gen Xers. I'm a boomer, and I don't like talking about the way things were when I was a boy. But Sundays, back in the days of my boyhood, were special. We would go to church and worship, and then we would do the exact opposite on Sunday of what we did the rest of the week. We would go visit grandparents, or we would go visit close friends. We would sit and fellowship with one another. It was a day of rest. But it's not that way anymore. Now, I'm not preaching legalism because it doesn't have to be Sunday. In our culture today, in fact, the New Testament sets us free from that. In the old covenant, there was a certain day that began at sundown, and you had that day, and you had to be legal about it. It's not that way anymore. There are many people who are working right now today. They have no choice, and they love God too, and he's blessing them with employment. But even they, if they can't take a Sunday, they need to take a day of rest. It's that important, and they need to be able to say, all is at rest. Now, the Sabbath is what God calls a day of rest, and it comes from a Hebrew word that means intermission. Some of us need an intermission from life. Some of us have had the merry-go-round going around and around, getting faster and faster. We could barely hold on as it goes around out of control, it seems. But then an intermission from that, the stress and the pressures of life, to where an entire day and night can go by without anything entering our mind other than, God, thank you for your rest and an opportunity to worship you. Thank you that I can trust you with everything no matter what. And this is a day I honor you and I remember the place of rest you provided for me. And I give you what you deserve, and that's my worship for you. Nothing to interfere with rest and worship. The two go together. David said in the book of Psalms, our favorite Psalm 23, he leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Restore and rest, the same word. He gives rest to my soul. Some of us regain some sanity when we're at a place of rest. It has to do with our mind, our emotions, and our will is affected by it. It's the area of the soul, and it's restored in a still place. Now, I'm going to wrap up quickly because the people who are having to work today, they're not able to come and worship with us today. Now, they love God too, but they're cooking right now for you. It's about out of the oven. Some of you are thinking right now, where am I going? What restaurant can I get into? What have I really? Some of you, I've lost you already. Our other brothers and sisters who are worshiping God and resting on another day instead of Sunday today, they're not here with us, but they're cooking a good meal for us right now. I know you're anxious to get there. So I'm just going to read two or three more scriptures. But let's revisit Hebrews 4:1 and then read the second verse too. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now that's shocking right there, because I'm a word man. I grew up respecting the word. I grew up hearing the word. And to read these words in scripture, the word they heard did not profit them. How is it possible that you could hear the word of God and it be of no value, no profit, no benefit to you? It tells you right there, not being mixed with faith. Those who hear it don't put it to work. God can speak and give instructions, as he did to that other restless generation a few thousand years ago while they were wandering through the wilderness. They heard God's instruction. They heard the word of the Lord, but it didn't profit them a bit because they didn't put it to work. They didn't mix it with faith. And faith is active. Faith is not passive. Faith takes the word of God and puts it to work. You go to work with faith. Even if you need a miracle, it's called the working of miracles. Miracles don't always automatically happen. Most of the time, we are engaged and involved in working a miracle. Now, for those who are short on rest, and you know I'm speaking to you today, and I think that's to all of us at some level. I've just been wrung out emotionally. It has hit home to our house. When you go through anything that's threatening to your health or somebody you love in your home, then there are days when rest was hard to find. But according to the Bible, regardless of circumstances, regardless of how high the winds are blowing in the storm on the sea of your life, you can sleep through it like Jesus did. You can rest even in the midst of a storm like Jesus did. But I'll have to confess, I've been through a storm and I acted just like the other disciples, the ones that were with him for 3 years, the ones that were with him on the boat. Sometimes when a storm blows, I'm just being raw and real. I never have put myself upon a pedestal, and I've never allowed you to do it. I have rebuked you if you've tried. I've told you, I hope you're more spiritual than me. I've told you that many times. Some of you I know are, and I'm thankful. But imagine being a chosen disciple like the 12, and you saw everything he did. You heard every word he spoke. And still, when a storm hits your life, you're restless. You can't sleep through it. All rest is gone, which means all trust is gone, which means all worship is contaminated. Can't give God your best when you're not trusting him no matter what. And remember, we struggle to control the matters we aren't completely sure God will handle. So I've walked through it. I know what it is for my rest to be challenged. And I know what it is to be too human, just like those other great disciples. We're in good company at least. His very own, top 12. They did it too. Just couldn't rest through it. And even accused him, don't you care for us? Here we are dying and don't you care? Charging God with being careless and not being concerned about them. Oh, aren't we just like those other disciples? I also know what it's like, though, to be able to reach a point to say, all is at rest. All is at rest. Hebrews 4, 7, so God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. There it is in Scripture. Our ancestors, our forefathers, those who were in the wilderness and disobeyed God's instruction, heard his word clearly, but said, no, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to get 2 days' worth, even though it's Monday. And then, on the day, the sixth day, when you should have gotten 2 days' worth, nah, I'm going to tempt him. Just going to get enough for today. There'll be more out here tomorrow. God, in his anger, swore against his own people and said, they will never get where they're going. They will never enter into my rest. And so that was a previous restless generation. But the word of the Lord comes to today's generation. And we're a restless people too in our day. So God set another time for entering his rest. And that time is today. There's no need to put it off. Storm brewing in your life, we know what it's like. It comes to all of us. And even Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we are. Every temptation that's common to us, it visited him too. And yet he passed the test. And so regardless of how restless you are, how rest deprived you've been, God sets another time to enter his rest, and that time is today. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said it this way, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. All you have to do is come to me. If you labor and are heavy laden, he said, I'll give you rest. Just come to me, and today is the day to do that. I heard it explained to me like this recently. Our breathing pattern can become a testimony of our trust in God. And it was shared with me like this. Every time we inhale, take a deep breath in and hold it just long enough to fill our lungs. Be thankful for the breath. It's our life this very moment. Thank God when we inhale fresh breath, but we can't hold on to it. We will die if we hold on to it. We must exhale. So let it go and trust God for the next one. Thank him and then trust him for the next one. Thank him for every blessing. And let it go and trust him for the next one. I believe God is giving us a chance today to enter into his rest. That time is today. And the invitation is, come to me. If you're heavy laden, I'll freely give you rest. Would you stand with me, please?